Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 23, 2023, Romans.
All right, first things first, before we get started, we have a birthday boy this morning. Magnum, it's Magnum's birthday. And he knows his birthday present too. Magnum, in case you don't know, is a Christian. And not only that, he has better manners than most people. And not only that, he can sing. I'm not sure about all of you, but he can really sing. Well, Randy can really sing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly, you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey had a report. It's titled, As Trust Wanes. Stephen Covey, author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, once said, quote, trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships, unquote. Remove that glue and things come apart. I was reminded of that when FBI Director Christopher Wray answered questions on Capitol Hill a few days ago. Traditionally, Republicans have been the party of law and order. But here they were grilling the FBI director, many of them seeming to believe very little of what the man had to say. Despite some strong opinions of my own, and my point is not to take a side, but I will say this, trust is hard won and easily lost. Trust is won through virtue, integrity. It is won when a person or an institution consistently tells the truth. But the glue of trust weakens with every lie. A bit of it dies with every dishonest statement. Truth is the common ground that allows us to accomplish things together. If you go to a doctor and you tell him or her the truth, the two of you together can fight whatever problem you face. However, if you lie, well, you're on your own. Waning trust not only destroys relationships between individuals, but it destroys the effectiveness of God-ordained human institutions. Even the worst dictators work hard to get their populations to trust them. Government does not work without trust. And if we do not or cannot trust our courts or the judiciary, what do we have left? What are parents to do when they stop trusting their local school boards? What happens when even medical institutions begin to make decisions based on political considerations rather than the health of their patients? Our Lord Jesus Christ called Satan the father of all lies. That means by his very nature, Satan sows distrust. As a society follows the father of lies, Satan, which we are doing in America today, it becomes less trustful and less trustworthy. People begin to feel increasingly paranoid, as if danger lies in wait around every corner. Anger comes quickly and easily, and fear reigns. So what is the solution? What's the solution for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You put your trust in God. You put your trust in the living and true God. Now, that doesn't mean to trust everything you ever heard anyone say about God, but trust God. Trust who and what He is. Trust His essence. Trust His word. Trust that His ways will always be best, even when you do not understand. Consider these three scriptures. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Titus 1:2 says, God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. When our society is falling apart, or your personal life feels like it's unraveling, then put your trust in God. Follow His instructions. Follow the absolute truth of the Word of God. Do what God says in His Word. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and He cares about you even more than you care about yourself. As you trust God, something wonderful will happen inside you. You will become more like your Heavenly Father, the one who cannot lie. You will become more and more trustworthy. It might be the beginning of a healing that will have impact and touch the whole world. At the very least, it will change your life. It will defeat your paranoia. It will quell your anger. And it will ease your fear. All right, Romans chapter 6. You're all there, Romans 6. We're going to start the corrected translation at verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Verse 3, or are you ignorant? Don't you know? And sadly to say, there are far too many Christians that do not understand one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God. And that is what Romans 6, 1 through 5 is teaching about. And that is the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. One of the most important doctrines that you, a church-age believer, can ever understand and know. But there were many that Paul was writing to who were ignorant and did not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into His death. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His death and burial. Therefore, verse 4, we have been buried together with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death. Again, retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that, just as Christ was raised out from the dead ones, His resurrection, by means of the glory of the Father, the omnipotence of the Father, so also we, church age saints, might now live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with Him in the likeness of His death, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, then certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. This last verse, verse 5, this is a conditional sentence. And the conditional sentence has two parts. It has a prothesis and an apothesis. The prothesis is the if clause. The apothesis is the then clause or the conclusion. The prothesis is the conditional, in this conditional sentence, presents the premise of retroactive positional truth, identification with Jesus Christ in his death and burial. The apothesis in this conditional sentence presents the conclusion of current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection. The apothesis of this conditional sentence is full of ellipsis. Now, ellipsis means phrases have been left out. And that happens different times. You know it. When I was growing up, just a second, got to have a drink of green tea. When I was a lad growing up, well, we watched, Popeye and Mickey Mouse. And Mom would say something like, "Rich, take out the garbage." And I didn't listen to it. I just kept watching Popeye and Mickey Mouse. Then she came back, "Richard, take out the garbage." And I'd sit there and didn't move. And the next time she came in, "Get out! Now! Take." And that was ellipsis. She left some things out. She was excited. And after that, I was excited. Well, the Apostle Paul is very excited, so he's left some words out. The apodosis is full of ellipsis, and that means the Apostle Paul is very excited. Paul is all cranked up about the phenomenal doctrines that are being taught here. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, union with Jesus Christ, and positional truth at the right hand of God the Father, and all of its implications for church age believers. He's excited about these things. The grammatical omissions in the apodosis are supplied from the prothesis. Paul is totally excited about this newness of life. This newness of life that God has for the church age believer. And this newness of life far exceeds what any Old Testament believers ever had. This fantastic doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit means we are royal family of God. We are spiritual aristocracy. We are body, the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. And the body has a lot of different parts, hands and feet, and in the same way with the body of Christ. And that's the different spiritual gifts that you all have. You all have a spiritual gift, and that's like a different part of the body. We are the body of Christ. We are in union with Christ. We're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We have been given a unique spiritual life to live in the church age. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution, and that is has been provided by the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So we have been given this unique spiritual life which demands a supernatural power for its execution, God the Holy Spirit. We have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. Our body has been made a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of God the Father. We have been created a new spiritual species. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have been given, all of us, equal privilege, equal opportunity. Every one of you in here have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. We have positional sanctification. And positional sanctification means it means that this removes, it removes all racial prejudice, removes cultural differences, removes social distinctions, removes economic barriers, removes sexual discrimination. Positional sanctification. And we have the universal priesthood of the believer. We are all a royal priest representing ourselves before the living and true God. And we are a royal ambassador representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We have the indwelling of all three members of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every one of you. You have the unique availability of divine power. You have the unique protocol plan of God for the church age. You have at least one spiritual gift been given to you. You might have two or three or more. And knowing all of these fantastic doctrines about the church age began at Pentecost, concludes at the rapture. We're living in the church age. I believe we're living near the end of the church age. When the rapture takes place, we're all out of here. The dead in Christ rise first, then those who are living. We might be the rapture generation. If that's it, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye and the splitting of an atom and receive your resurrection body, and we will live with God forever and ever. Knowing all of these fantastic doctrines about the church age and the church age believer, Paul is totally excited. And therefore, we have ellipsis in Romans 6, verse 5. So we have done the exegetically, we have studied Romans 6, 1 through 5. Now we're going to study it categorically. We're going to study it categorically by studying this fantastic and very, very important doctrine in the Word of God, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we started last week with point one. We've already had point one. Point one is that the baptism of the Spirit is one of seven salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit. And we studied those seven. They included, first of all, efficacious grace. Efficacious grace is the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit to make faith in Jesus Christ effective for eternal salvation. When positive volition is exercised toward gospel information, resulting in faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit picks up that weak faith from the spiritually dead unbeliever and makes that faith effective for eternal salvation. Secondly, regeneration. And regeneration is where the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit for the imputation of eternal life to that human spirit. This is being spiritually born again. The new believer then becomes trichotomous, having not only a body and a soul, but a human spirit. The third Salvation ministry is the baptism of the Spirit, which we are studying. We're going to be studying it in great detail. It's such an important doctrine in the Word of God for us to know. And the baptism of the Spirit is the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit, identifying the believer with the death and burial of Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, and with the resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ, current positional truth. Fourth is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit indwells you at the moment of your faith in Christ. God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every believer. And at that point, the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit creates a temple in your body. Now, there are no sanctuaries or temples, buildings. Today, your body is the sacred building. Here are all these bodies here, and your body has the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. That indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple for the indwelling of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of God the Father. So here your body is a sacred building for the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the indwelling of God the Father. And the filling of the Spirit, where the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit empowers the church age believer to live this unique spiritual life of the church age, and the sealing ministry of the Spirit, which guarantees that we belong to God and that we have eternal security. We can never, ever lose our salvation. And the seventh, the sovereign distribution of spiritual gifts to every single believer. We are the body of Christ, and you all have at least one spiritual gift given to you at the moment by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. Now, the baptism of the Spirit is one of seven Bible baptisms, but we have already studied those in great detail, and I refer you to your notes on that, and we'll move on. Point two, definition. Definition. One, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real baptism. It is an actual identification in which God the Holy Spirit, at the moment we believe in Christ, identifies the believer with Christ's death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and resurrection, current positional truth. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real baptism, an actual identification in which God the Holy Spirit, at the moment we believe in Christ, identifies the believer with Christ's death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and resurrection, current positional truth. Two, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of forming the royal family of God during this dispensation, the church age. We're living in the church age. Began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of forming the royal family of God during the church age. By being entered into union with Christ, we are royal family of God. We are a new spiritual species. We are spiritual aristocracy. Three, this union with Christ is called positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. Now, sanctification has three parts. At salvation, positional sanctification. That's a great happy birthday, Magnum. All right. Three parts of sanctification. Positional sanctification. That's at the moment of faith in Christ. God the Holy Spirit takes you, as it were, by the nape of the neck and shoves you right up into union with Christ. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of God the Father. And you are now entered into union with Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. That's positional sanctification. That happens at the very moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. There is experiential sanctification, and this is you growing up after salvation, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, which motivates great impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, and when you reach spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. And then there is ultimate sanctification, and that's when you receive your resurrection body and live with God forever and ever in eternity. So sanctification has three parts. Here is positional sanctification, that's salvation, faith in Christ, experiential sanctification, you have the opportunity to advance to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum in time. Ultimate sanctification, you will have a resurrection body and live with God forever and ever. So the baptism of the Spirit, or this union with Christ, is called positional sanctification. Subpoint four. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an experience. You see, when the Holy Spirit took you and entered you into union with Christ, you didn't feel anything. You didn't have whiplash because you got placed in union with Christ. The baptism of the Spirit is not an experience. It is a function of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit putting every believer into union with Christ and making him a new spiritual species. So the baptism of the Spirit is not an experience. It is a function of the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit putting every believer into union with Christ, making him a new spiritual species. Subpoint five. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is only related to the church age where we live. We live in the church age. It's only related to this dispensation. The baptism of the Spirit is not found in the Old Testament, and there are no eschatological references to it beyond the church age. It's related to the church age only. Subpoint six. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the function of any spiritual gift. It is not the function of any spiritual gift. For example, speaking in tongues. And no one has legitimately spoken in tongues since AD 70. Now, I have to tell you about a couple of people that I love very, very, very much. They are now in heaven. One of them was a lady by the name of, well, I called her Auntie Jean Penko. And she came and sat in the back row on the very first day, sat in the back row there. And I was teaching about spiritual gifts and pointing out that no one has legitimately spoken in tongues since AD 70. Well, she came with another lady. They had been in another church, but they decided, they saw Upland Bible Church. Let's go to this church. Let's try that one. So they did. Well, the church that they came from had a woman pastor, and they were charismatic. They spoke in tongues. Well, they weren't speaking in tongues, but they thought they were. And after the class was over, Auntie Jean came down and She said, you said that there is no one legitimately spoken in tongues since AD 70. I said, that's correct. I said, but don't take my word for it. We'll be studying it from the Bible. Let God show you from the Bible, because God made it very, very clear. So if you just stay positive, you keep coming back and learning the Word of God, God will show you exactly from His Word that that was a temporary spiritual gift. It ceased, and it ceased by 70 AD, and no one has legitimately spoken in tongues since 70 AD. But again, let God show you from His Word. We'll be covering those things. We'll be teaching. One thing you come here, there's one thing you can guarantee if you come here. We will study the God-breathed Scriptures, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Not emotionalism, but the absolute truth of what the Word of God says. So if you want to know the truth, you're at the right place. If you want to operate on emotionalism, then you need to go find another place. And there's a lot of those out there, but not here. Well, she came back and came back. And came back. And came back. And then she moved from the back row to the front row. And then she brought her husband, who was an unbeliever. And he came and sat down in the front row. And I knew that she told me that he was an unbeliever. And she didn't think he would ever come to class. And he getting ready one morning, Auntie Jean says, what are you doing? You're getting a suit on. What are you going to do? I'm going to church. You're going to church? Yes. So he came in and sat down. I gave the gospel. And that morning, he heard the grace gospel and placed his faith in Jesus Christ. That was Uncle Rick. So we had Uncle Rick and Auntie Jean. Uncle Rick was here every single day. Class. From then on, he was here day and night and night and night and day for classes, and he was a sponge, and he just grew up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I saw the spiritual growth. It was fantastic. He had phenomenal humility. He was in the military. He had served in the Air Force. He had total respect for authority. He had total respect for the authority of God, for the authority of the Word of God, and for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And he grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ very quickly. And we needed a new deacon, and I recommended that Rick Penko be appointed a deacon of Upland Bible Church. And he was. And I can tell you, well, he's in heaven now. He was the best of the best. I have been blessed with so many fantastic deacons. And a lot of them served in the military. They served in the military or in law enforcement. And because of that, they had great respect for the authority of God, for the authority of the Word of God, for the authority of me as a pastor who teaches the Word of God. And I'm going to see them again. I'll see Uncle Rick in heaven, Auntie Jean in heaven. And but sure enough, you may be sitting here, and I just said, that no one has legitimately spoken in tongues since 70 AD. That's absolutely true. We aren't studying that spiritual gift this morning. We'll be studying spiritual gifts again. And we'll study the difference between permanent spiritual gifts and temporary spiritual gifts. And the gift of tongues is dogmatically declared to be a temporary spiritual gift. So if you are not sure, Just stay positive. There's only two things you need to have when you come to Upland Bible Church. Two gifts. Positive volition and humility. You come with positive volition and humility, why then let God show you. Let God show you from His Word. Because God's Word is absolute truth. God is not a man that He should lie. God is absolute truth. Subpoint 7. The baptism of the Spirit is not experiential. It is not experiential. We're under point 2, definition. The baptism of the Spirit is not experiential. 8. Union with Christ is a permanent identification. A permanent identification which distinguishes Christianity from religion. Distinguishes Christianity from religion. In religion, man, by man's effort, seeks to gain the approbation of God, which is satanic, a false gospel, salvation by works. In Christianity, the believer, through grace, for by grace you are saved through what? Faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Satan is the one who has the false gospel of salvation by works. God's plan of salvation is grace. It depends on who and what God is. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross. God the Son executed it. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. God does all the work. And you simply believe in Jesus Christ. In Christianity, the believer, through faith in Christ and resultant union with Christ, has a permanent relationship with God. Subpoint 9. The baptism of the Holy Spirit forms the body of Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ being the head. The baptism of the Holy Spirit forms the body of Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ being the head. And we'll be looking at that as we continue our study of categorically. We've exegetically studied Romans 6, 1 through 5. Now we're studying it categorically, exactly what the Word of God says about this phenomenal doctrine in the Word of God, the baptism of the Spirit. So we'll take a break. We'll let you go outside and cool down. And take a break, and then we'll come back for part 2.